Hello, your friendly neighborhood host, J.T. Wheatley, back again for another episode with a History of Comic Books podcast, this time with a part two of a history of American women in comic books. When we last left off, I started out with the introduction of the first American women female cartoonists, Neil Brinkley and Rose O'Neill, as them and many others got their start doing advertisements and drawings while moving into comic strips and cartooning, and we'll continue with that. Another notable female American cartoonist was Martha Orr, who created Apple Mary in 1932, a Depression-era strip about a street corner apple seller Mary and her big-hearted friends. After 7 years of drawing the strip, Orr had gotten married and decided to raise a family, thus she handed off the strip to Dale Connor. Connor would sign on simply as Dale, who changed the strip to Mary Orr's Family in 1938. Soon, Connor brought on writer Alan Saunders, and the two would combine their signatures to be Dale Allen for the strip. Under Alan Saunders' writing, Mary Orr was changed from a drama to a family strip, which made Dale Connor unhappy, thus she left the strip to team with her husband, who was also a comic book writer. Saunders found Ken Ernst to replace Connor as the artist for Mary Orr, which would become the first dramatic continuity strip by a woman. The comic strip is still published to this date, though its origins are still relatively unknown. Edwita Dumb was born in 1893 in Upper Sandusky, Ohio, and after graduating from high school, took the Landon School Illustration and Cartooning course. After her success, Landon would promote her name as one of his graduates in advertisements. Dumb started out doing editorial cartoons for the Columbus Daily Monitor from its first edition, April 7, 1915, to its last issue in 1917, notably for its promotion of women's rights. This work also was quite possibly made Dumb America's first female political cartoonist. By 1917, she was doing the page Spotlight Sketches, which would have a spinoff, The Meanderings of Meanie, a semi-autobiographical strip starring a tomboy and her fluffy dog, while also continued her illustration studies at the Art Students League. In 1918, Dumb created a new strip, Captain Stubbs and Tippy, about the adventures of a young boy and his dog, Edwina Dubb reportedly loved dogs, which she would simply sign Edwina. First appearing on August 21st of 1918, the series would run for 48 years, and its last appearance on September 3rd of 1966, with Dumb's retirement, having gone through multiple name changes from Tippy and Cap Stubbs to Tippy. Dumb also created another strip, Alec the Great, starring just a dog, that ran from 1931 to 1969. A notably productive cartoonist, it was reported she could produce a full comic strip in 1 hour. Dumb would also provide covers to music albums and even produce features for the Wonder Woman comic in the 1940s. Even after her retirement in 1966, Dumb continued to make watercolor paintings and photographs and would receive the Gold Key Award from the National Cartoonist Society in 1978. Having never married, Edwina Dumb passed away on April 28, 1990, at the age of 96. Caroline M. Saxton, who signed her work C.M. Saxton, did Luke and Duke in 1934 as a first action series, a continuity strip that took place during World War I, telling the adventures of two American doy boys and Yvonne, a beautiful Belgian orphan they somehow acquired during their adventures. The style of the strip was like Belgian cartoonist Hurd's classic Tintin adventure strip, and Caroline would sign with her initial C.M. to hide the fact that she was a female. Particularly on an action male-oriented strip. Many female cartoonists did such a thing as the industry was still male-dominated and sadly frowned upon the female cartoonists at the time. Dale Mesnick was born Dahlia Mesnick on April 11, 1906 in South Bend, Indiana. In school, Mesnick was forced to repeat both the third and the eighth grade and thus didn't graduate from high school until the age of 20. She later went to college at the Ray Commercial Art School, but dropped out to start a career as a professional artist. She began working for a Chicago greeting card company and was quite successful, but quit when her boss lowered her pay following the Great Depression. In 1933, Mesnick moved to New York, where she started work at another greeting card company for $50 a week, of which she sent $20 back home to her family in Indiana. However, when she tried to create her own comic strip, Dahlia Mesnick ran into the trouble of being a female in a male-dominated field. Thus, she admits that, like many female art cartoonists, she altered her name to the more gender-neutral Dale so as not to turn off male readers and editors. She was able to sell her strip, Wedgie, as Dale, about a poor country girl moving to the big city to make a living and would later create Minnie the Mermaid. Her next strip was Peg and Putty, the Strugglets, about two girls struggling to make it in the big city. It would later morph into Streamlined Babies, but remained the same, and would also not be picked up for publication. Finally, Dale Mesnick would create Brenda Starr, starring a redheaded, her appearance was reportedly based on the movie star Rita Hayworth, starry-eyed reporter in the 1940s, with her name taken from the 1930s debutante Brenda Fraser. Mesnick was originally rejected by Captain Joseph M. Patterson of the New York Daily News and chief of the Chicago Tribune New York News Syndicate. Reportedly, it was because Patterson had tried a woman cartoonist once and wanted no more of them. Molly Slott, his assistant and later vice president, found the discarded scripts and reworked it with Mesnick, changing Brenda Starr from a bandit into a reporter. After this, Patterson grudgingly agreed to run the strip in the syndicate as a Sunday comic, which debuted on June 30, 1940, but flatly refused it in the New York Daily News. In fact, Brenda Starr didn't run for 2 years until after Patterson's death in 1946. All of this was done despite Mesnick being pregnant with her daughter from her first husband, in which she jokingly stated, "I would draw, grow up, draw again, and then repeat." Despite her newfound success, Mesnick was never fully accepted by her male colleagues and even resisted joining the National Cartoon Society as a result. Brenda Starr, reporter, would be a strip of high adventure, with her facing off against kidnappers, jumping out of planes, and nearly freezing to death in snow-covered slopes. Soon the strip would be filled with such rich supporting characters like Flip Decker, the teenage leader of an all-blonde girl gang, to the nameless doll, a poof-haired Robin Hood. All in all, it was a unique strip, both starring and created by a woman. Mesnick identified her character so much that she dyed her hair red and even named her daughter Star. With the success of the strip, it was naturally spawned serials, comic books, and was notably one of 20 comic strips honored the U.S. postage stamps in 1995. Mesnick would eventually hand off the strip in 1980 and would continue until June 2, 2011. Reportedly, Mesnick hated the look of the character when she left, saying the succeeding artist took away her glamour. As for her creator, Dahlia Mesnick would move back to Oakland, California to be near her daughter and grandchildren, while still occasionally working on comic strips, though none with the success of Brenda Starr, such as the Perry Mason strip and Granny Glamour, which ran in the local paper. She would eventually be honored by the National Cartoon Society with the Story Comic Book Award in 1975 and later the Milton Caniff Lifetime Achievement Award in 1997. However, she would have a stroke in 1998, permanently ending her cartooning career, and would later pass away on April 5th, 2005. Celia Paddock Munson did Monastery of a Blue God in Adventure Comics in June of 1937, a spy story about stolen Swiss military secrets. June Tarp Mills was born on February 25, 1918 in Brooklyn, New York. She originally worked as a model to help her family and put her through school, which included the Pratt Institute in New York. Upon graduation, Mills began a career as a fashion illustrator before moving on to comic strips and books. In 1938, Tarp Mills contributed to such comic books like The Purple Zombie, Devil's Dust, and The Catman. Born June Mills, she changed her name to Tarp to disguise her gender, once again like many female cartoonists did at the time. Mills also used her other pseudonyms such as Edgar Allan Jr. and Nella. Tarp Mills did Daredevil Barry Flynn for the Amazing Mystery Funnies in 1939, which featured Joanne Hart, who would be a prototype for Miss Fury. Miss Fury would be the first costume heroine in comics, first appearing in April of 1941, coming out 8 months before Wonder Woman was created by writer William Moulton Marsden and artist Harry G. Peter. Wonder Woman wouldn't be drawn by a woman for 45 years, in fact. The series started Marla Drake, a socialite who dons a skin-tight catsuit to fight crime as Miss Fury and became an instant hit with readers. With the success of Miss Fury, it wasn't long before readers found out that her creator was a woman, as newspaper articles about the strip would feature a picture of her, which bore a strikingly resemblance to Miss Fury's alter ego, Marla Drake. Like many creators, her creation would bear a striking resemblance to her. Mills even put her cat in the strip, a white Persian named Purry Purr. Miss Fury would be a risque strip for the day, featuring women dressing in lingerie and even a bikini at one point in 1947, which prompted 37 newspapers to cancel the strip. Tarp would later change her name back to June Mills before the series ended in 1952 and continued to work in comics, such as the 7-page romance strip in Marvel Comics Our Love Story in 1971. She would ultimately die on December 12th of 1988. On June 19th of 2019, June Tarp Mills was posthumously inducted to the Will Eisner Hall of Fame and is still remembered as the first female cartoonist to create a female superhero. Mabel Burvick went by Odin Burvick when she took over Dickie Dare from Colton Waugh in 1944 after originally being his assistant. She would also later marry him. The comic strip about a 12-year-old boy who dreamed himself into exciting adventures was originally created by Milton Caniff on July 31st, 1933, before the comic strip went on to Terry and the Pirates and Steve Canyon. In the tradition of many artists, Mabel Burvick signed her strip merely Odin, concealing her female identity. Nesna McMean, who was born Marjorie on June 24th, 1888, changed her name on the advice of numerologists. McMean attended the School of Art Institute in Chicago and later worked at a large millinery farm, where she became a lead designer. Between 1911 to 1913, McMean went to New York, where she originally tried at being an actress before turning to commercial art, where she sold her first piece to the Boston Star in 1914. She soon became a popular illustrator and portrait artist for the depiction of All-America girls and painted every McCall's magazine cover from 1923 to 1938. During World War I, McMean made posters for the French and American governments to raise money for the Red Cross and even toured the Western Front to entertain troops in 1918. In addition, McMean would design the Betty Crocker character in 1936 for the Gold Medal Flower Company, along with providing ads for Cadillac and Lucky Strike cigarettes at $2,500 an illustration, nearly $32,000 today. McMean tried her first comic strip, Deathless Deer, which is written by Allison Patterson, making its first appearance in November of 1942. Allison Patterson was also the daughter of Joseph Patterson, who originally refused to publish Brenda Starr by Dale Mesnick. McMean died of cancer on May 12, 1949, survived by her husband and daughter. In 1984, McMean was inducted into the Society of Illustrators Hall of Fame, with one of her illustrations featured in a 20-stamp release on February of 2001. With the outbreak of World War II, many United States men enlisted or were drafted into the war, and naturally women had to take over their jobs back home. Comic books were no exception. Ramona Patinude drew the Blue Beetle, V-Man, the Green Falcon, Dr. Fung, and the Vision during the 1940s. Peggy Ziegler drew Doc Savage and the Red Dragon in 1948. Nina Albright was born on February 15, 1907 in Manhattan, New York, and she would become an artist after winning awards from the St. Nicholas Magazine in 1922 and 23, later attending the Pratt Institute in 1924. Albright got her start as a comic book artist when she answered an ad by Jerry Iger, the future business partner of the legendary Will Eisner, and would later work at a comic book studios like the Funnies Incorporated, L.B. Cole, and Barnard Bailey in the 1940s. During this time, she drew The Cadet, starring Kit Carter, for Target Comics. While the series had a male lead and included numerous strong female characters in response to numerous letters by mostly female readers that requested such, by the 1950s, Albright worked for American Girl magazine and educational books. She passed away on February 7, 1977, at the age of 89. There would be other female heroines drawn by women as well during this time, from Yankee Girl by Ann Brewster, Blonde Bomber and the Girl Commanders by Barbara Hall in 1942, and Jill Eglin from 1942 to 45. In 1946 to 1947, Janice Ballou drew Tony Gale about a glamorous fashion model detective for Young King Cole Comics. Ann Brewster was born Shirley Shonizelvic on November 20, 1918. She originally pursued a career in fashion design, but soon became interested in comic books after attending the Cooper Union Art School. Besides working on Just the Blonde Bomber, Brewster worked for numerous studios during World War II, and in 1955 was one of the artists on The Young Romance by Jack Kirby and Joe Simon, the first official romance comic. Brewster passed away on July 9, 2005, leaving behind a 40-year comic book career that stretched from the classics like Frankenstein to adventures like Sheena. Ann Brewster inked at Fiction House, working over the pencils of Robert H. Webb for a classic illustrated adaptation of Frankenstein and Mr. Midshipman's Easy. Brewster also penciled for classic illustrated herself. This would be a trend as female artists would draw heroines with Fiction House, which was created by Jerry Iger and Will Eisner, creator of The Spirit, back in 1936, hiring the most women artists in the 1940s, some notable names being Jean Lavender and Fran Hopper, who drew the girl detective series Glory Forbes, with Hopper also doing the jungle heroine Camilla. and Lily Renee, who drew Jane Martin, who starts out as an army nurse but soon becomes an aviatrix. Other notable comics were Jumbo, Jungle, Fight, Wings, Rangers, and Planet. While women heroine in these books were often depicted wearing skirts, bathing suits, or suggestively ripped army uniforms, they still went into action, guns in hand, often rescuing the men in the process. In Planet Comics, it was a science fiction series in which the prolific Hopper drew numerous female-driven stories, such as Gail Allen and her all-girls squadron, who were essentially walks of the future, and the Mista of the Moon, about a goddess who lived on the moon. The star women cartoonist of Fiction House, though, was Lily Renee, who from 1943 to 1948 drew for the company from Tessie Taxi, The Lost World, Senorita Rio, and The Werewolf Hunters. The Lost World was another science fiction series in Planet Comics, taking place in a post-apocalyptic lowlands in New York City as Hunt Bowman and his companion Lisa lead a group of survivors against the Nazi-like Voltomen, green-skinned conquerors. Senorita Rio featured in Fight Comics with a Brazilian nightclub entertainer who fought evil in her spare time. It wasn't just female artists who filled the ranks of Fiction House's staff, though, but writers as well. From the 1940, when Ruth Rausch was only 20 years old, she went by the name Rod Rausch until 1961. She would be Fiction House's first major female writer, along with being an editor. However, by the end of World War II, when many men returned to their jobs, the women would be forced out, and by 1952, Brenda Starr would be the only strip starring and drawn by a woman. Claire S. Moe drew children's adventure strips in Centaur's Funny Pages, The Circus and Sue, Circus Days, and Little Mary of the Circus in 1938. Also in 1938, Corrine Boyd Dillon produced the strip Jigger, and Gene Hodgkins drew Donnie Stewart, both for the Globe Circus, the Comics Riot. In 1946 to 1947, the team of Isabel Manning Houston and Olive Bailey adapted the radio program Land of the Lost, no relation to 1970s TV series by the same name, into a comic book form, chronicling the adventures of Isabel and Billy, two children in an undersea fantasy kingdom, facing off against the villains of Spondo, the leader of the notorious Devilfish and Ura Slug. Throughout the 1940s, V. Quinn Pearson illustrated a series of strips for Catholic comic books such as Heroes All and Treasure Chest. Distributed to parochial schools and churches, it featured stories of saints and other role models for Catholic children. Hilda Terry was born Teresa Hilda Philman on June 15, 1914, in Newburyport, Massachusetts. As a child, Hilda admired sports cartoons, particularly the work of Wilfred Mullen. She went to New York to pursue her career while working as a waitress, but reconsidered a career path when she submitted a sports cartoon and a funny cartoon in a newspaper contest, with the funny one winning. Hilda would attend the Art Students League, where one of her teachers, Gregory D'Arloso, would become her future husband, whom she married in 1938. Hilda soon signed the King's Feature Syndicate, where she drew It's a Girl's Life, which was later featured in Tina in 1941, a teen strip, but many missed its debut, as it fell on the fateful day of December 7, 1941. Nevertheless, the teen strip would move forward, continuing into 1964. After 10 years of success, her husband, Gregory D'Alessio, proposed membership to the National Cartoonist Society in 1951, but was denied. The NCS was still an all-male organization despite decades of successful women cartoonists. Reportedly, Terry was denied because if a woman was allowed at the meetings, then the men wouldn't be allowed to curse. They don't know any of the women I know. However, numerous members of the NCS objected, such as Milton Caniff of Terry the Pirates and Al Capp of Lil Abner, and as a result, a new vote was held where Hilda Terry was finally accepted in the National Cartoonist Society. As soon as she was a member, she put forth the names of Gladys Parker and other female cartoonists for membership, thus fully breaking the gender barrier of the National Cartoon Society. After the demise of her strip, Terry would go on to pioneer in another field, computer animation, when she animated caricatures of Major League Baseball stars for sports stadium scoreboards across the country. Terry, who originally wanted to be a sports cartoonist before Tina, had finally achieved her goal. In 1979, she won the Best Animation Cartoonist from the National Cartoonist Society and went on to teach art at the New York Art Students League. In 2001, she was elected to the Friends of Lulu Women Cartoonist Hall of Fame. On October 13, 2006, Hilda Terry passed away at the age of 92, leaving behind a legacy of not only as an accomplished cartoonist, but the one who broke the National Cartoonist Society's gender barrier. Marty Lenks did Bobby Sox in 1944 and would join the National Cartoonist Society shortly after Hilda Terry. However, despite even sending the announcement of her birth of her first child to the NCS, all correspondence she received from them was still addressed to Mr. Lenks, showing that old habits died hard. Her children would be an influence for Lenks, though, as she modeled the messy lifestyle of her comic strip heroine, Emmy Lou, after her teenage daughter. Lenks would retire from the strip in 1979 after her children had grown, claiming she no longer had any information on how they think, moving on to do Hallmark cards. She would continue this work until she was 82 when she retired, but still did watercolor paintings until her death on January 6, 2008. Linda Walker did Susie Q. Smith for her husband Jerry, which was syndicated by King Features. It would later be published by Dell as a comic book. Ruth Atkinson was born on June 2, 1918, in Ontario, Canada, before her family moved to the upstate New York. She originally worked for Fiction House and the Iger Studio in the 1940s. Her first confirmed work was on Wing Comics in number 42 on February of 1944. She would later made art director at Marvel under editor-in-chief Stan Lee, who had just returned from serving in World War II. Atkinson also created and drew Millie the Model and Patsy Walker, the latter which she would stay on with for 2 years. Atkinson would retire after getting married and eventually passed away on June 1, 1997 at the age of 78. Her creation, Patsy Walker, would later become the character Hellcat at Marvel and most recently featured on the Jessica Jones Netflix series. Marvel also printed Taffy, a two-page advice strip by Phyllis McCall, in 1946. Violet Barclay was born on November 5, 1992, in New York City, New York. She attended the School of Industrial Art in high school, which had fellow cartoonist Alan Bellman, and later the School of Visual Arts. She got her first job in comic books when Mike Studelsky, a fellow industrial art alumni and penciler at Timely, the future Marvel, met her at the Cafe Rose, where she was working as a waitress for $18 a week. Studelsky said he could get her a job inking for $35 a week, and she could also freelance for extra money. There was just one problem. Barclay didn't know how to ink. Studelsky said that wouldn't be a problem. Staff artist Gantz would just teach her on the job. Barclay started out inking funny animal stories like Super Rabbit and Ziggy the Pig and the Silly Seal, along with Nellie the Nurse, though her credits are hard to track down as most were enlisted at the time. Her relationship with Mike Studelsky soured, though, as despite being married, he would still give her expensive gifts to her, and when she didn't return his affections, and even dated a different Timely artist, Mike Studelsky reportedly went to Stan Lee to have her fired. According to Barclay, Studelsky told Lee that either Barclay was fired or he would quit, and since you couldn't tell Stan Lee what to do, he told Studelsky, "It's been nice working with you." Thankfully for Barclay, she had established a reputation as a talented inker, with Stan Lee himself citing Violet Barclay for her inks on Rusty in his 1947 book, The Secrets Behind the Comics. Barclay was one of the many women cartoonists influenced by Nell Brinkley as a child. Working at Marvel, she preferred romance comics over cartoony ones, as she was able to draw beautiful women. She would later move on to do illustration for the New York City agencies and portraits when she left Timely in 1949, working freelance for DS Publishing, DC Comics, American Comics, and so forth. However, the downturn in the 1950s forced her to return to working as a waitress and a hostess before returning to art as a fashion illustrator, providing art for such chains as Lan Brandt and A. Brandon Strauss. She studied art and painted to her dying day on February 26, 2010, at the age of 87. Lillian Chesney was born on September 26, 1913. She studied art in New York, where she attended the Pratt Institute and Art Students League of New York City. Chesney would work as a cartoonist during the 1940s and 50s, working for classic comics for such work as Gulliver Travels and Arabian Nights. Chesney would also work in advertisements and children's books and later produce watercolor paintings. She passed away on August 6, 2000 at the age of 86, with much of her original comic books still highly valued. Vernon Gamble also adapted The Tale of Two Cities for National Comics, which would later become DC. Dottie Keller did funny animal strips for Timely, later Marvel, of course, while Etta Parks did Red Rabbit, a funny animal parody book of the comic book Red Ryder, along with from 1949 to 1951. She would later work under her married name, Etta Hume, doing editorial cartoons for the 4/4 Star Telegram. Hume was born on December 22, 1923, graduating from the University of Texas with a fine arts degree and later working at Walt Disney Animation Studios under the tutelage of Ward Kimball, one of the legendary Nine Old Men animators. She later did freelance work for the Texas Observer. Hume made a name for herself as a political cartoonist who would later win the National Cartoon Society Award for Editorial Cartoons in 1981 and in 1998. She was later elected the president of the American Association of Editorial Cartoonists, noted for being one of the few successful female editorial cartoonists at the time, when there was only like five or six in the 1980s. Hume would publish cartoons up until her 2008 before passing away on June 25th of 2014 at the age of 90. Christine Little, under the married name Christine Smith, applied for work at Western Printing and Lithography, which produced comics for both Dell and Whitman. However, being told that the company didn't hire women, she instead did work doing erasures and corrections for 6 weeks before she was finally allowed to draw. At Western, Smith drew novelty pages, comics, and the inside of the comic book covers such as Roy Rogers, Little Lulu, Tarzan, along with the Walt Disney books like Mickey Mouse's Almanac, Silly Symphonies, and The Sleeping Beauty. However, Smith will remain uncredited for most of it outside of I Love Lucy coloring books she did in 1959. And we will once again leave you for there, but return again next week for the third and concluding chapter of this history of American female cartoonist, as we will get to arguably one of the most popular American female cartoonists in history.
Super Kick Party. It's the wrestling podcast from the host, who is the hammer swinging, burrito eating, well, you know the rest, of Thunder Talk. Sexy. Thor. It's the Ring of Thunder, found in the Thunderverse and among the great podcasts of the ESO Network.
Now it is March 14th, 2024, time for the favorite comic of the week. Transformers number 6 by Daniel Warren Johnson, which sees the conclusion of this first story arc. It sees the Transformers and Decepticons get into the final battle over who controls the Ark, the spaceship they all landed on Earth in. This is a great action-packed issue that, while it doesn't resolve the main story, it does resolve this part of the story arc with some surprising deaths and neat twists on both the Autobots and the Decepticons. And generally, he doesn't pull any punches with this. You see some brutal fighting matched with his great art, which is a nice mix of being cartoony yet gritty and realistic. I mean, each Transformer goes through some pretty bad damage during this whole thing, and both the humans and the Autobots and Decepticons has some nice twists. There's a crazy twist about one who happens at the end that kind of decides the battle, but it leaves a big cliffhanger what happens next. And yeah, this is just the whole Energon universe in general has been fantastic, and this is no exception. I mean, and honestly, you can't wait to see the more larger crossover when the Transformers and G.I. Joe get together. We've seen hints of it in the separate books, but yeah, I can't wait for the big old thing. But so far, I'm loving the Energon universe in general. And definitely pick up Transformers. That's fantastic. The only downside is that Danny Warren Johnson will no longer be drawing the series. He'll still be writing it, but you're going to miss his art. But you're full-time pencilers nowadays. It's a hard job, and he does a great work. Hopefully he'll be back soon, but otherwise, great read. And with that, we'll conclude with this archive edition of the History of Female Creators in American Comic Books. Join me again next week when we'll conclude with the concluding archive third chapter, as of course in line with March being a Women's History Month. And till then, go out and enjoy yourself a good comic book, and definitely check out that Transformers series. It's fantastic.